frustrated? Or are you able to rejoice in God in spite of the fact that we in God's church, yes, I say, we in God's church do not observe December 25th, commonly known as Christmas Day. But here we are on God's Sabbath to praise Him and to honor Him and to glorify Him, because we have come to understand the truth of God. I want to speak to you today on simply the topic, the plain truth is. That's it. The plain truth is. In preparing this message, two other titles came to mind, and I had to decipher, and decide what I should speak about. The subject, the plain truth is. I thought of focus on the facts. I thought of they played their part. Do you know what history is? Of course you do. History, as it is spelt, simply means his story. Isn't that amazing? History means his, who is? Jesus Christ, his story. His story has been absconded by Satan and made his own. Satan has taken the story of Jesus Christ and made it his own. What do we have? Santa. What does Santa have to do with Jesus Christ? We have the Yule log. We have the Christmas tree. Television started bringing Santa as he left the North Pole on his way to distribute gifts to children around the world. And we have long ago come to understand in God's church there is indeed no real Santa Claus. Mr. Davis has asked that I give a couple of examples as to the falsity and the falsehood of Christmas. I'm hoping to spend some time in the Bible study dealing with the subject a little more extensively. We've all heard about Saturnalia. Saturnalia was a drunken, debauched behavior, something like we have in Trinidad, known as Carnival. The world gathers in Trinidad to see Carnival, but it is nothing outside of the prettiness, debauched behavior, and it's getting even worse. If you've seen pictures of it, you see how much nakedness is displayed and how much God is not indeed honored. But during the Saturnalia, it is said that many of the celebrants of December 25th were naked and they baked cookies shaped like naked people and eat them. Hopefully in our Bible study we can talk some more as to how this December 25th is nothing but the confiscation by Satan of something that God made holy. We know John 3:16 and what it means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we read that God was manifested in the flesh, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Did anybody say anything yesterday about Joseph? Or Mary? Who are they? What they have to do with what they call Christmas? Today, let us realize and remember that Jesus was not born on Christmas Day. Historians want to tell us that it is likely, if they want to face the facts, Jesus was born somewhere around the Feast of Tabernacles time. You remember we celebrated Feast of Tabernacles recently? Look how far that is from December 25th. So, the plain truth is, Christmas is a falsehood. It is nothing but the switching by Satan of the birth of Jesus Christ to what he wants us to understand. But God's truth prevails, and God's truth never changes. Who is Joseph? We know that he is the father of Jesus, even though God is and remains the father of Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 18, Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18, Matthew 1 and verse 18, it's in here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to put her away, or to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a vision or dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, not in, but from their sins. And it goes on. The characters, as we said last year, in this great saga played, as I thought of that topic, played their part in bringing us the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And though it is not December 25th that it occurred, yet this story is in the Word of God. It is the truth. Thank God that His Word remains steadfast and truthful. In Joseph, I see a man who is stable, steadfast, sterling, and submissive. How many of you men here in this congregation today would have had the character, I include myself as well, to do what Joseph did? Here is his girlfriend, the Word of God said his wife, comes up pregnant. What does he tell his folks? This man was so stable and sterling and stalwart and submissive that he would not put her away privately, but stood with her through it all. Would we have that sterling character, brethren? Would we have that fortitude and that stick-to-itiveness that this man shows us in this story and in these scriptures? He was a man's man. He was the man God chose to be the earthly representative of His Son Jesus Christ. And we should admire him for his sterling, stalwart character. He stood by this girl. How he explained it to his friends, we don't know. But those are the things that made Joseph the mighty character that he looms before us as. And then there's Mary. Historians are not sure as to how old she was. Some think she was a teenager. Some think she was a little more advanced in life than a 15 or 18 year old girl. What do we see in Mary, the mother, not of God, the mother of Jesus Christ? You know, Christmas simply means Christ Mass. And who do you know observes Mass every day? That's what Christmas means, Christ Mass. As absconded by the devil and run with by the Catholic Church, Mary was willing to help God. God puts this sort of a burden on this young woman to bear a child. She said, I've never known a man. Mary was willing to help God by keeping this secret, this truth, to herself. Not only was she willing to help God, as we said before, she was worshipful. Let's see if we can see this in scripture. Look. But anyway, you'll find it. I wanted to make the point that when she discovered it, when the angel appeared to her, she said, the Magnificat, you've heard it, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Here's this young girl, the young woman, who finds herself pregnant. And all she can do is fall before her God and become worshipful. Luke?
Luke 1:46.
I'm sorry about that. Look at Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 29. When Simeon, who was in the temple, and Mary brought this little child in, he says, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your glory." This is what the forefathers lived for, and I have lived to see your word coming true. Mary was willing. She was worshipful. And the word says that she kept these things in her heart. She wondered what this means. Then there was the king. His name was Herod. He was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. When these wise men came and said that we are looking for the king, he knew of no heir to his throne. He knew of no one who was going to succeed him. He had no such plans. The word said he could not believe what this situation would be. He was troubled. He was terrified. And he was plunged into trauma. How did he know that? Because this king was so grabbing on to that title to think that somebody might succeed him. He sent and had all babies killed from birth to 2 years old. He was so desperate to kill this child. He was filled with panic. He was filled with trauma. And he wanted no one to succeed him. That's good old Herod for you. Then the story in the Bible is about the shepherds. We think of them as three shepherds, three wise men rather. And we do that because we read that there were three gifts. Myrrh, frankincense, and gold. It could have been 12 of them. There is no such revelation made. But they got the message. And they jumped, flew, got into their whatever their means of transportation was. Of course, we know it came by camel. They went in search as to this king, that this star, the word of God said, they have seen. So I didn't get that before. His star, not a star, but his star. They'd seen his star in the east. And they were on their way to worship him. Luke 2. Once again, look at verse 8. And they were abiding in that country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This is in the scriptures, brethren. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you see how Satan is taking this story of God's revelation of his great salvation to us and absconded it and made it what the world calls today Christmas? And so these shepherds were out there in the field watching their flock. They were dutiful men. Nobody likes night shift, except they make more money because of the union's provisions. They were faithfully watching their sheep, their flock by night. Dutiful men. They love their job. Do we love our job? We do it because we need the money. So many times I hear people say, I hate my job. But they get up in spite of the snow and head for the job, because they know they need that money. They've told us and told us a thousand times that most of us are only about two paychecks away from abject poverty. Hopefully you have, for one, you have your money saved. But these men, at night, they couldn't care about wolves coming to take away their sheep. This was their job. They were faithful to their job, faithful to their commitment. And they were on the job, taking care of their flock by night, because God had revealed himself to them through an angel. Don't think, brethren, that your job is so lowly. You are not very much. God can reveal himself to you, which he has. That's why you're here. And God revealed his truth to these humble shepherds as to about what he was ready to do. And then the wise men who had seen a star in the east and were going to worship him, but they made the mistake by going and talking to Herod. And he couldn't believe his ears. And he was full of trauma, full of shock. And he killed all of those babies because he was zealous of his position, zealous of his job. Do we act like that sometimes? Nobody gonna get in my way. That is selfish, and that is not Christ-like. You know, these wise men followed the star all the way, and said the word says, it came and stood over the place where the young child lay. Isn't that amazing? They had no GPS. They followed, the word said, his star. until it came and stood exactly where the young child lay. Or GPS today, when you set it, it gives you that magenta line, and it takes you around and around and around. If you make a wrong turn, it says, recalculating. You made the wrong turn. Until you get back on the right track to find your way. And when you get to the way, there's this black and white racing flag that begins saying, your address is on the other side of the street. And you look at, oh yeah. Amazing. They had no GPS, but they followed the star until it came and stood where the young child lay. Isn't God marvelous? Isn't God great? But you know, after they presented their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and worshiped the child, when they left, the word of God said that they were told in a vision, don't you go back to Herod, because he has no good intentions of this baby. He will seek to slay him. Sometimes God gives us a mission and we start on it, and God might change direction. We have got to be so attuned to God that if God changes that direction, that course, as he did with these wise men, don't you go back there. They didn't say, well, we were told to, you know, do what we are doing. Is that true of you, brethren? You have a command of God. He tells you what to do, and all of a sudden he says, Abraham, slay not your son, your only son. And as he was about to plunge that knife into his son, God says, no, I was simply testing your faith. Now I know that you will obey me to the nth degree. Does God know a lot about you, brethren, and me? Has God put us to the test so many times that he knows we will not fail him? We will obey him to the end. The object of the Christmas story, as we hear it told, is Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the central figure of what they call the Christmas story, but what we know as the manifestation of the love of God. I think I told you this story before. A couple had the great joy of having this child, and which couple doesn't enjoy that. They had a party for the child around Christmas time. They had no crib, so the child was placed on the bed. As the guests began coming in, they started taking off their coats and putting them on the bed. You know the story. The very child they were there to be glad about was killed by the many coats that were placed on that bed, oblivious that that child was there. Isn't that like the world? The true Jesus Christ, whom we are supposed to worship and serve and honor and glorify, lay him aside. And the world makes a big hullabaloo. But Santa, you logs, the Christmas tree, how many people you heard speak the name of Joseph or Mary or Jesus Christ yesterday? Jesus is the mediator between God and man. The only mediator, said Paul, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the mediator. He's the messenger of God, bringing us the message of Mark 1, 14 and 15, which will become the hallmark of our kingdom presentation. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the basis of the kingdom of God series and the kingdom of God lectures. Jesus brought nothing but the truth of the kingdom of God to us. It is for us to run with it and understand it. And more than that, expect it, because the kingdom of God will rule on this earth. And that is the only gospel Jesus Christ ever preached. The world has gone crazy about Jesus, the personality. You've seen the Catholic Church's presentation of Jesus, this pious looking person, long hair. Jesus. And you know how they got that picture? Absurdity. They say that the picture they show was when Christ was carrying the cross and he fell. Mary came with a white towel to wipe his face and his image with all the blood came out on that cloth. Pure absurdity. But the world believes it. They were saying that the Catholic Church has taken the cross of Christ and they've sold so many pieces of that wood from that cross as souvenirs. They tell us that Jesus in the image weeps. Those who know the truth, they tell us they put water in the head of that statue and say, look, Christ is crying. In some stories they tell us, oh, that tree is bleeding. That statue is bleeding. And the world goes crazy. Oh, everybody comes from all over the world to see it. What would Jesus statue that they have composed be doing bleeding? What would that mean? His blood was shed for us on the cross already. A bleeding statue does nothing for us. But these are the truthful, these are the stupidity that we have come to believe. Therefore, God's church does not celebrate Christmas. Jesus is the only hope of the world. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And if we want to, we can believe it. Or can we can believe something else. Luke 2. Verse 52. Luke 2 and 52. Listen to this important verse. And Jesus, the very Jesus we accept as our Savior, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Brethren, that's what we're supposed to do. Increase in wisdom and in spiritual growth, stature, and in favor with both God and man. Let us be about our Father's business. realizing that Christ came to bring the only salvation known to mankind, and he preached the only gospel that God expects, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let us be busy about our Father's business, for he's left us occupied until he comes. We'll talk more about this in the Bible study along the same.